The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome to Tech Talk right here on Chai FM, where we always go into all of the latest gizmos, gadgets, and just technology that affects our lives every single day. And stay curious, this is an incredibly exciting time in technology with the continual hype, a lot of hype, but a lot of actual innovative development in the AI space. It's evolving so quickly. Talking to developers, jobs that used to take a day, a month or two, now takes a day. It's pretty insane how quickly the whole tech industry has evolved, how things are getting more and more streamlined, how AI, in many ways, call it what you will, is changing the face of technology for all of us. It's changing jobs. It's changing what we do. It's changing who we are to the most part. So we are seeing an absolute explosion of technology globally in all facets of our lives. You're going to see it in business. You're going to see it in medicine. You're going to see it in education. You're absolutely going to see it everywhere. But winding it all down to stuff that you and I can enjoy and play with and deal with. Today in this show, I'm going to focus on a couple of gadgets, some that are really revolutionary, but with a twist, others that are incredibly well-priced for lots of good reasons. So we're going to stay very grounded in terms of what we're talking about and where we're going. But right now, a major problem, the amount of scam calls I get in a day are just insane. It doesn't stop. The phone rings at some recorded voice, or please wait for an announcement, or hello, you need to pay this account. It's just absolutely crazy. And there's not a lot you can do about it. There is a no solicit list, which I think puts you on the list of real cell phones. So you'll end up getting more calls, not less. But talking to the various networks, they're well aware of this. Obviously, they make money from the calls, so they're not so keen to keep cutting calls. But we do have a problem with ID and the way that we work and manage our lives through our mobiles. Now, MTN have launched a full-scale deployment of what they call a digital ID system, which should theoretically enhance customer experience and really improve your identity security. So your information will not be out there, will not be used for anything other than what you actually give explicit, not implicit. That's another little trick these guys use. If you don't say no, they feel that they can contact you. So they send you some obscure WhatsApp asking you if you can be contacted. You don't answer it because it looks a bit scammy, which it is. And then all of a sudden you start getting phone calls for stuff, which you really didn't want. So with this new digital ID system, apparently it's going to use biometric authentication and AI-driven fraud detection to streamline all the services you get from MTN. And there is a huge problem with direct identity theft, around about 30% at customer touch points. So SIM swaps and all sorts of important things go on and happen behind the scenes. I even had it. There was an attempt to swap my SIM. The next thing, I was listed on the bureau as a potential fraud subject, not that I was committing fraud. The problem is that I needed to change my contract or do something. I had to then go and get my clearance or inform the fraud agency that was monitoring this that it's really me. Now, that can be a little difficult, especially if you're remote or you don't want to drive into town or whatever it is. You don't want to physically go and take your ID to a shop and show them what's going on. It's too convenient. You do it over the internet or you do it over the phone. Well, this new system will reduce that incredibly. And they are going to introduce it into the app so you can do facial scanning, all sorts of biometric stuff. And I think this is an absolutely great use of technology to make our lives easier and a lot more secure. So watch out if you're an MTN customer. Watch out. They've got a brand new app. Haven't spoken about that much, but there's a great new app which allows you to pretty much do absolutely everything with MTN without stepping into a store, which again can be a little painful. And it's not that stores are entirely immune to fraud and whatever, but with proper facial scans, with proper biometric testing, with the AI's checking out what's going on. And the AI can use do very simple things. If your last call was made from Sandton, and all of a sudden you're trying to change stuff from Dubai, doesn't make a lot of sense. There's definitely a flag there. It should stop that whole transaction from happening. Or even if it's you're busy in Cape Town, the next thing there's a request coming from Durban. How is that possible within an hour? Well, more or less, but it's not, and it shouldn't be allowed. So watch out for this. There are going to be quite a few changes in the mobile app. Some of them already implemented. It seems to be working extremely well. I've used it personally, being on MTN. And it seems to really take the pain out of interaction, which is all about customer experience. And hopefully it can be extended into all aspects of the use of your mobile number across everything. That includes giving it to people for spam and all sorts of nonsense emails and phone calls and whatnot and SMSs that come. However, again, that goes back to a lot of the security. Never give anyone access to the stuff without knowing explicitly what you're doing. And if you ever get an implicit one, you can report it. I'm not sure to who, but it's not really allowed. But make sure that you don't ignore these SMSs that say, if we don't hear from you, you consent to allowing us to use your number for stuff. So that is really important. And staying with the mobile networks, we'll talk a little bit about this in the gadget side. But Vodacom are expanding their network. They're pushing really hard. They want to have an additional 500,000 new users. Now, remember that the networks have been working hard in South Africa for many years. The population of cell phones is pretty stable. So there's not a huge amount of growth within the mobile network. But they've come up with a really smart idea. They're going to mix a really cheap, decent quality mobile phone, which is 4G enabled, and low-cost access to try and make it a very possible for tons of people who previously perhaps not being able to afford or been able only to afford a really dumb phone to move that across to a smartphone. But we'll talk a lot about that in a little bit. And the last bit of interesting news that came across my desk is that Dark Fiber Africa is completing an 800 million network upgrade to improve broadband stability. Now, Dark Fiber Africa are one of the major fiber players within South Africa. And for the most part, fiber has proved to be extremely stable for most of us. But outages occur, and then you phone up your ISP, and then they've got to phone up Dark Fiber Africa and say, what's going on? And you get told that there's something going down in the box at the end of your street, and they're working on it. So what they're doing is they are improving the fiber optic infrastructure using some of Nokia's latest, it's called 400G technology. So they boost the data speeds between businesses and your homes, but also, more importantly, the capacity between the box at the corner, which feeds your home or your business or your area, and the core network, that should increase enormously. So that when everybody's watching that show at 8 p.m. in the evening on Netflix, you don't find degradation in your service. The capacity is bigger. So there's definitely going to be some improvements and across the Vuma network and other networks, because all these networks tend to interact a lot. They tend to work together. So you'll find that overall, you should get greater reliability, less downtime, less time when your fiber connection does not work, as well as inherently better speeds. Even though you only pay, for example, for 100 meg, you'll find that the contention will not be as fierce as it was. Contention is when lots of people are using the same line. So greater capacity at the back end, greater reliability. Some of this Nokia technology is really cool and really next gen, because we're all going to be landing up using more and more bandwidth as we go ahead. Already we're in 4K. Who knows when this is going to 8K video? And lots of AI use is creating enormous bottlenecks within networks. And we'll be back. I've got a great, straight after this, a message from our sponsors and a live read. Then I've got a great interview with Justin Hume from Samsung, the latest launch of the Flip and the Fold 7. Some interesting stuff to be discussed. It's a very loose and open discussion. And you'll find some really interesting tidbits of stuff that, yeah, I wasn't even aware of. So let's come back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And before we get stuck into our interview with Justin Hume. I just want to give you a quick live read, and this is from our good friends at Dis-Chem. Dis-Chem's wellness clinic for adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage all your health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem wellness clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, affordable, and done with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem wellness clinic inside Dis-Chem pharmacies across the nation. Better health starts here. And now straight into our interview with Justin Hume. Really always a pleasure to speak to Justin. And let's take it from here.
And as of what, yesterday, I think, or the day before, I shouldn't actually mention the date because I'm only going to play this next week for our listeners. But anyway, the launch of brand new devices from Samsung, the folding devices, which was something Samsung pioneered back a few years back. So tell us a little bit about what's new, what's exciting, and what's your take on the great new Galaxy Fold and Flip 7?
Yeah, thanks. So, I mean, as you say, some certain products launched to market there, the Galaxy Z Fold 7, the Flip 7, and importantly, the Flip 7 FE, the fan edition, which came to market. On top of that, the...
Sorry, Watch I didn't mention that, but that's an interesting take.
It is. I think, you know, if we maybe let's pick up on that for a second there, but foldables have never been short, certainly in South Africa, of interest in the category. Affordability has maybe been one of the constraints, particularly when we think about this market being driven largely by operator tariffs and the like. So really what we've looked there is to bring in a foldable product that now starts reaching a far wider audience. And it's essentially built off the current Flip 6, let's call it a chassis, if you want to think about it in car terms and the like, modifying the processor, but again, expanding on some of the AI features and the like. We think that's going to open it up really into, as I said, a more affordable tariff perspective, but also
this is the FE sector that we're talking about specifically.
This
now
is the FE. And, you know, if we think about generally people these days have kept their phone for either 24, 36 months or longer. But if you go back 36 months and you compare that to what a Galaxy Flip 4 was or Galaxy Flip 3, it is chalk and cheese. So that user is very much going to be in for a pleasant technological surprise. But I mean, jumping back to really the key product, which was the Fold 7. This is the device that went on, the only way I can describe it, a proper diet.
super slim.
Slimmed it down and it's super slim. And I'm going to pop it up and see if you can see here. Now, this on screen is somewhat difficult to contextualize, but when I open it up, I've now got a device that's just 4.2 millimeters thin. Now, that is, and I'm going to try and hold it up to the camera here, but you can see the USB-C port. It is literally the width of a USB port.
That puts it in perspective. That's pretty insane.
It is insane. It is unbelievably thin. Now, the thinness is important, and you've really got to touch it and feel it to appreciate that difference between a regular phone and where this is. But it comes in at 215 grams. Now, 215 grams, to contextualize that, is into your morning cup of coffee or to a slab of chocolate in many cases.
Which we were talking about earlier, yeah.
100%. And that in your pocket, you know, it's just slim. It's like, and it fits in there. Now, the big thing about this with the folder, it's got slimmer, but the screen on the outside is now a 6.5-inch display. So we are not just referring to this as a foldable. We talk about it being Bar Plus. So I've got a Galaxy S25 Ultra here. I have got the Fold 7 in my hands here. And the two are almost exactly the same from an external space.
Externally, you can hardly see a difference.
But the difference is here, I can open this up. This is an 8-inch display in all its glory. So that is what it is. And we've referred to it being the Ultra Unfold. So like the S25 Ultra, which had a 200 megapixel camera, the Flip 7, or sorry, the Fold 7, now comes with a 200 megapixel camera.
It's quite
as well.
A big upgrade. Before the Folds didn't quite match the camera technology of your other flagships. Now they do.
Well, they didn't match the camera technology, and in a number of other areas, perhaps there was a significant difference. And you were left choosing between a bar type phone for the technology side of it and the foldable phone, really for the ability to have it open up and have a broader display. That has evaporated. The gap has closed. You now are getting that ultra experience on this device effect.
Which is a big step forward, actually. Certainly in technology, considering the form factor.
Exactly. So again, bringing it down, we've had to think about how we fit a 200 megapixel camera into this slim design.
That's crazy.
This product, it is literally, when opened up, half the width of a Galaxy S25 Ultra. So we've had to slim down the camera module without compromising the lens or the quality there. The hinge design that makes us such a robust phone that can open up at almost any angle that you want, that had to be redesigned and basically slimmed down as well. The only thing that actually got thicker was the glass utilized in the product, and that's to give it additional strength. So we focused on durability, making it even stronger, but ultimately without compromising any of the thickness, the durability, and so forth.
And what I've also read while we're on the durability stuff is that the internal screen, although not glass, has actually improved dramatically over previous generations as well.
Exactly. So we are. Sorry, Steve, I have to pause here. There's a message coming in. Yeah, just. Okay. Sorry,
no
somebody. Okay. Apologies.
Technology
okay.
always
so,
interrupts.
Exactly. Okay. So I don't know, if call comes in, was it pinging, could you pick it up on your side?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, okay. If it comes through again,
so
I'll just ignore it. Okay. All right. So I'll pick up from the internal screen.
Internal screen and the foldability and the sort of durability.
So certainly, I think the internal screen, we have what we call ultra-thin glass running through there. We've reinforced the layers, especially around the hinge area, to make sure that there's absolutely robustness given to the screen, to the pressure that is placed there and the light. On top of that, we've had to modify the way in which the image actually opens and the impact resistance of that image, because, you know, phones do get dropped. It happens. So we need to make sure that there's a level of security or durability built in at that layer as well. We've tested these phones. They open up. We talk about them being almost, for want of a better term, guaranteed for over 200,000 opening and closing. I mean, that's effectively 5 years of folding and unfolding.
Constantly.
So we're very satisfied with the durability. And if I can maybe take a bit of a leap here, the opening of the screen opens up to a new experience, which is how we've reimagined AI coming onto the device.
AI is integral to the device now. It's no longer just a nice-to-have add-on.
So we launched what we refer to as our One UI 8 version. So that's built on top of Android 16. And we've got to start thinking that AI is not an add-on. AI is the interface nowadays. And so this is a piece of hardware that was then constructed and then layered and integrated with an OS that is at a foundational level AI ready, AI incorporated in that regard. What I love about the foldable opportunity with AI is that maybe a practical example that I could utilize is, we have our phone here again and I take a stunning image, but let's say I'm taking a picture of my family and we're on a walkway on the coast, and in the background I've got this wonderful sea coming through and that, but there's people and objects that are, I would like removed. I can call it up on my phone. AI instantly recognizes that what I was trying to achieve was a picture of my family. It recognizes that the people in the background probably aren't meant to be there, and it can now suggest multiple objects to erase.
So you now, don't have to actually select them. You just select the area and say, clean it up.
Exactly. And in fact, it'll give you suggestions in that regard.
That is cool.
The really cool thing about that is because I've now got the broader real estate that I've got on the screen, I can have the original image here and the new image on this side, like I could do on my computer. And I can now see which one is better in that regard.
That is cool. That now, is very smart. And I suppose you can't do that on a small screen.
No. Now, another really cool feature is we've enhanced the audio razor functionality. So you and I are having this conversation. Now, behind me, let's assume there was a coffee station and we're having this interview and suddenly somebody decides to start the coffee grinder to make an espresso. You know that noise, that kind of grinding.
Absolutely.
That goes around, and you hear it in a Starbucks, you hear it in a wherever. And suddenly, in the past, you and I would have to pause the interview. We'd have to wait for that machine to finish, and then we could resume or start turning around and telling everybody to keep quiet. Galaxy Fold 7, Z Fold 7 with One UI 8 is so intelligent, it will pick that up, and I can say, erase that noise. In fact, it will even know
after
that is the noise that I'm wanting.
After that,
exactly.
Oh, wow.
And only deliver your voice and my voice. It would be crystal clear, like we have it right now in that regard. Now, the brilliance of this is in many phones, you can have similar type of features, but they're isolated to a particular application. We think about AI in the term of multimodality and personalization. I can now have audio eraser in my voice recordings, in my voice notes, in my Samsung notes. I can have it from my gallery. I can have it within YouTube. I can have it within Spotify, as an example in this regard. And so I have AI that is now operating seamlessly across the different applications and platforms that I'm utilizing within my mobile phone. And that is actually quite revolutionary.
That's actually really important. So in essence, the integration of all these so-called smart features and that are just becoming everyday occurrences. They get rid of annoyances. They just make your life a lot easier overall.
100%. So, you know, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, you know, I've spoken to you about this before, and I still think about it in this way, is that AI on this device for me is like a teammate. And I often talk to our sales partners and I say, we're moving from this age of selling a phone to selling an intelligent assistant, because that's really what it's become in that regard. The second thing that I believe where the magic truly happens is when I'm not working on the technology, I'm not trying to work on in a particular application like that, I'm working for a specific outcome, but I'm working towards possibilities that I can potentialize as it comes about. Now, what I mean by that is I often have ideas and I'm trying to talk to my marketing team and that about, I want the ad to look a certain way and the like. They get frustrated, I'm frustrated because we're missing each other on the comms. Today, I simply talk to Gemini, the Google agent that I have on my devices, and I describe more or less what I'm looking to bring about. It actually then renders for me either the image or, in fact, now with Google AI Pro that comes 6 months free on the Z Fold 7, I can even do a video. So a short format video with audio and the like using Flow or VO3. Some of your listeners might be familiar with that. And I can express my ideas. What's even better then is I can bring it back into using sketch functionality and draw to sketch kind of scenarios and drawing assist within the devices to advance it and have AI clean up my little stick man figure into a person
turns into a decent
chair.
fully featured render rather than just a head and a couple of sticks.
Exactly. And really what I'm finding on top of that now is the integration of where the camera has not just become an object for image taking, but has become the lens through which AI sees the world that I'm seeing. And what the example I use here is I've got a son who was studying for his mid-year exams the other day. Now, his mother was away on a business trip, and it was a Saturday, and he comes up into my study and he says to me, "Dad, I've got a question on my Afrikaans paper." Now, I'm sorry to any listeners to Afrikaans, but
not one of your key strengths.
It is not my key strength, far from it. What was brilliant is I clicked and went, hang on a second. I said, "Gemini, this is what I'm seeing. Here's his textbooks. Here's the notes that his teacher gave studying. Can you guide me on what it is that I need to be doing here?" Gemini recognized that it was Afrikaans. It recognized that it was the language components and looking at verbs, adverbs, pronouns, all these kind of things, and what the question direction was, and was able to articulate that and explain to me what had to be studied. Fortunately, my son passed Afrikaans. He was one of the top of the class in that test. And I can attribute none of my own skill to that, apart from the skill of being able to do a prompt.
Well, that in truth is a major skill. I'm afraid we're running slightly low on time, so I just want to touch on a couple of other things. The Galaxy Fold 7 and Flip 7, the new form factor is certainly super sleek, super slim, and very polished. What are the other key technical features that you just want to highlight that would really impress people using a product like this right now?
So certainly, I think, as I mentioned, the 200 megapixel camera on the Fold that we have. We have the... can I pick that up?
Yep.
Sorry, Stuart. No problem. So certainly on the Fold, we have the 200 megapixel camera that gives us great visual clarity, enhanced by our Pro Visual Engine.
That's on the processing engine that manages the camera and all the visual effects, etc.
Exactly. Now, again, we then integrate that with AI. So even if I do a video and I take them to slow-mo, AI will insert frames so that I can literally, just by holding the screen, take any video and slow it down to watch it in that impressive moment that we have.
So one of truly professional touches that you won't even have to think about.
100%. I want to quickly touch on security, because this is something that's often gets underplayed with AI and the like. We have our PDE, Personal Data Engine. We introduced it with the S25 series. And what that effectively does, it says, hang on, any information that I am breaking out from the phone and breaking out into the cloud, I'm only delivering the information that is absolutely required for that transaction or application to take place before erasing that information. So I'm storing it within my device, within what we know is to be the Knox Vault environment. So that's a layer of protection one. But before that, in fact, we give our users the choice of do they want to do on-device-based processing or cloud-based processing, depending on the different applications. And throughout, we give you the choice to make a decision on how much information you want to release, how much you want to keep safe. And it brings me to the third one, which we've just introduced now. We call it Keep. And, you know, often people ask me, and I'm going to put it in very layman's terms here. They say, "I've heard that the AIs are talking about me between each other." Well, yes, we allow the applications to talk and interact, because that's how we get the multimodality and the personalization. But the permissions that I give to application one are not necessarily the permissions I've given to application two. And what Keep does is it says, right, it creates a clean room data privacy environment within Knox, and it says, I'm allowing application two to use this information only for those purposes that are allowed to complete the transaction and then execute. But it may not pass on or receive any of that personalized information. And so
that's really important.
Exactly. And if I can just talk about a final point of security, brings me back to the home, which is linked with Knox Matrix. Our devices are now becoming interlinked throughout the ecosystem. And because of SmartThings, where we operate on an open platform philosophy. We don't lock you in. So that means I can use my phone to operate with my Samsung TV, but my door locks can be using Yale locks for that matter, or my lights using Philips Hues. But in this modern world where even your toilet can be connected.
Especially if you go to Japanese.
Any point. Exactly. And I'll cut, in fact, one colleague of yours was talking to me about a seminar recently where they were talking about your e-cigarette as an access point now. And any of points can become a point of vulnerability within your home.
So you can not hack your home through your e-cig.
You can hack it all through your toilet, for that matter.
Down and dirty.
Many goats around the world. There we go. Matrix locks each of those down and secures the network as individual nodes effectively there. So we've really got to think about security from a cloud perspective, onto device and personalization, protecting between applications. And then as I bring this device into environments like my home, how we ensure that that privacy data or that privacy and confidentiality is maintained.
So, these devices, apart from cool form factors, super high tech, are actually windows into what you do, into your life going forward. They manage your business, they manage your home, they manage your diary, they manage your interaction, they even help you with kids' homework. There's a lot going on there. And apparently, to do that, you've increased battery life, you've made them more reliable. What, just briefly, how is that all hanging together, especially in such a thin phone?
Definitely. So we, speaking to our consumers, as I mentioned previously, they wanted a stronger camera. We did that. They wanted a thin phone. We did that. We increased the battery life to give you additional hours, gameplay. That's important to a lot of people as well, and so forth. We had to re-engineer the architecture of the board that came in here. But fundamentally, we had to think about new ways of engineering things like the hinge. New materials to within the glass structures, and yet not compromise on armor aluminium that frames the device. Because again, you drop these devices, we have issues like that. So that robustness, we live, and that happens. So we had to bring that into play. But yes, certainly to you. And there, one other point that I think I should mention about the hardware side is it goes with the Fold 7, the Snapdragon 8. Elite, which is an incredibly powerful processor. It's been customized and it's bespoke for Galaxy in that regard. So it can run the requirements of AI, the incredible processing complications that are needed, operate in a multimodal way. And all of these had to be integrated into a product like this. So that the end result is you simply give the device prompts, commands, and it fulfills the journey for you.
Well, thank you, Justin. We have to cut it there. It was great conversation, and we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and I'll be back with my gadgets and gizmos right after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back, and moving on to gizmos and gadgets. I've spent a little bit more time than I should have on Samsung, but super interesting stuff. But talking about mobile phones, imagine a 4G smartphone with a 6.5-inch screen for 67 Rand. That's a ridiculously low amount of money. Now, it's made by Tecno, and this deal is being offered by Vodacom right now. And it's what it's aimed at. It's aimed at, as we were talking earlier, to increase 4G and smartphone sort of penetration across the country, especially in areas where they are rolling out a lot more 4G and 5G networks. And essentially, the push here is to get rid of 2G and even 3G, because those technologies are actually separate networks. So when you're running a 4G or 5G network, you have to have a separate network, separate everything, separate antenna, a whole nother network running 2G and 3G. And a lot of dumb phones, a lot of the phones that weren't smart in their basic structure, the original Nokias and all those early phones, can only use those networks, and that's the only way that a lot of people communicate. So there's a big push to shut those networks down One, they're costly. The technology is extremely old by technology terms, 10 years or more. It's hard to maintain. It's expensive to run. And it would be much cheaper if everyone just switched across to the latest 4G or 5G smartphone. So this device from TechNow, I've had a good look at it, is really a pretty good push in that space. So if you're looking for a spare phone, or you're looking for a phone for your kids, or you're looking for a phone out in the rural areas where these will now work, as I said, that the initiative aims to connect 500,000 new users to Vodacom by 2026, which is really not a long time. We're in August already. So I think it's a really smart and well thought out promotion. 67 Rand is a couple of cups of coffee. And even for low budget income households, it's something that is very approachable. It might take a little bit of time, especially when you're using your income for other things. But essentially, to have a smartphone that allows you to do your banking, interact with government, do all the sorts of things that you would have to get on a taxi and drive to a town, it really makes a lot of sense. So check it out. Have a look at the Vodacom website. It really makes a lot of sense. And I think it absolutely, absolutely is a brilliant initiative. Expect the other networks to follow suit. I can't believe they would not miss this opportunity to really cut down on the old tech and push everyone on to the new one. And now we have another quick live read, because I can see my time is running out. The hour flies by when you're talking tech. And this is actually an interesting one. Ever wondered if ChatGPT is Jewish? And that's a good question. Ask ChatGPT. Gus Silber actually has the answers, from the golem to the chatbot. That's a great, great link. Or dive into the science and symbolism of Ozempic and the great uneating of Eve's apple with Paul Frankel. These sound like really fun. And don't miss Cheryl Cohen's hilarious and heartfelt Honey, I Screwed Up the Kids. It's quirky, it's deep, it's Limud, Johannesburg, 15th to the 17th of August. There are 130 plus sessions, endless inspiration, and book now at Limud, LIMMUD.org.ZA. The rooms for the weekend are sold nearby and may be nearly sold out with Limud. So if you want to be part of this really interesting conversation, go to limud.org.za, book your time, and this is where curiosity meets community. We do a lot of that on Chai, but I think this is way deeper and a lot more fun. Now, the last little thing that I wanted to talk about, I've been asked by many people over the years, over the last few months, about TVs, and I'll be back straight after a quick ad break to tell you about TVs under 5,000 Rand, which is quite interesting. We'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back, and we'll wrap up pretty quickly. But essentially, if you've got 5 grand for a decent TV, there are a number of really cool options out there, obviously from Samsung and LG and a couple of big ones. But one that caught my eye, which I really was quite impressed with, and there are a couple of basics. One, minimum size today is around about 50 inches. I know it sounds big, but smaller TVs are actually not worth the money. The panels are really old, they're not very good quality, and they're just not manufactured. So the price quality size ratio sits at around about 50 inches. Number two, it needs to be 4K. A lot of the streaming services, except our friends at MultiChoice, are streaming in 4K video. And even on a small screen, 4K video definitely gives you sharper, much sharper pictures, better color, and just overall a better experience. So they've got to be 4K. And the one that just sort of ticked all these boxes, and it's available on Amazon and Takealot, is something called the JVC LT50N. It's got a lot of other numbers out there. But if you look on Amazon for a JVC LT50N, I think they were doing a special around about 4999. I've seen it up to about 5657 elsewhere. But this is 4K ultra high resolution. It's also what they call a QLED. Now, QLED is an advancement on the standard old LEDs, which tended to be a little gray and a little washed out. The quantum dots that they build into the panel definitely make colors brighter, darks, blacks a little darker, and it is distinctly noticeable as a better quality picture. So they're more vibrant, the contrast is slightly higher. It's been getting great ratings from the Takealot customers, and it's got Google Smart features, so you can stream all the stuff you want. It's got a decent quad-core processor and runs on WebOS, which is basically all TVs today are computers. So if you're looking for a decent TV, either a second TV or a main TV for your home at under 5,000 Rand, and you really want something that I think would be quite impressive, actually popped in and had a look at one. It's pretty good. So on that note, we have to wrap up. Just thought I'd mention two low-cost gadgets this month, because we're always talking about 50,000 smartphones and 50,000 laptops. Not everybody's cup of tea. But these two, really innovative, well thought out, and really well priced. And on that note, I've been told, I'm afraid now our time is up again. Have to wrap up the show. So until next time, this is Stephen Ambrose on Tech Talk, right here on Chai FM.